You are listening to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church.
In our scripture reading this morning, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read the first 9 verses. And so, but this morning, I think you have a handout in your bulletin this morning, just to keep notes there. But this morning, I'd like to speak about the topic that is really all throughout the New Testament. It really centrals in many different places, but about being laborers together with God. It is a beautiful thought that we get to labor together with God. You know, not everyone is called to be a missionary and take the gospel overseas, over in Asia or in Africa or, in Europe. But God does call some, but God's not necessarily called us to be here as well. And so we have to all be obedient to what God wants us to do. And so it's a beautiful thought to think about that we are partners, that we are working together, laboring together with God. We're not alone in this work. And so it's a beautiful thought. And I want to look at this passage and go through with us so we can hopefully understand this profound truth this morning. But the Lord put these thoughts in my mind. It's been a few months ago that I was thinking of this, and I was reading through this passage here in 1 Corinthians, and I thought, you know, what a great picture this passage gives us concerning Paul's vision to labor alongside the Corinthian church. This church in Corinth was not a perfect church by any means. They struggled with the same things we struggle with, and that's sin and temptation. But it's interesting to see Paul's vision to work alongside this church. He was passionate to encourage this church, to strengthen them, and likewise they to him as well. But what I would like for us to do this morning is, as we look at and study this passage, I want us to see three simple truths in this passage. First of all, we'll look at the patience of Paul in verses 1 and 2. And then we'll look in verses 3 through 7 at the discernment and wisdom of Paul. And then finally, in verses 8 and 9, we'll look at the resolve, Paul's resolve. And so as we look at each part, I want us to consider that we can do nothing apart from God. We can do absolutely nothing apart from God. If we try to live in this world apart from God, we will not get very far. We need God. We need each other as well. But our working together should not be without dependence on God. We must depend upon God, because we ultimately need Him. We need Him to accomplish His work. We need a deep walk with God. We need a relationship with God to reach this world with the gospel. And God has a plan and purpose for each one of you. You know, that purpose and that plan is different than my wife and I. It may be different than your pastor. But God has a purpose and plan for your life, and He has placed you where you are for a purpose. And He has set a job for each of us to do here on this earth. And we must realize that in order to live that out properly, we must be surrendered to ultimately God, but surrendered to each other. We must be passionate to work together in glorifying God. But number one, the patience of Paul. Paul here in this book, in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he's been addressing the divisions within the church at Corinth, and if you read in the first two chapters, there's a lot of different references to the different things that they were going through. In chapter 1, Paul addresses their confusion over baptism, and you can see that in chapter 1 in verses 12 through 17. He later addressed the same chapter, number 1, with their division over who was correct or who could more eloquently preach concerning the message of the cross, and that was in verse 18 and verses 22 through 24. And then in chapter 2, Paul continues about how the message of the cross, it isn't so much about its messenger, but rather the message, and how that was central. And that's in chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. And then later in chapter 2, he was continuing to address their confusion over the Holy Spirit and that His role in their lives and giving them wisdom and discernment and teaching. And that's in verses 10 through 16 in chapter 2. But so Paul's been addressing here in 1 Corinthians the first few chapters here in this book, he's been addressing their contentions and their wrong thinking throughout this book. And here we get to chapter 3, and we see the first real personal challenge to the Corinthians that Paul really poured his heart out to this church. And we see that starting in verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people." And speaking of this church, they had their struggles, and we see that in the first two chapters. And he says, "But as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." These were new believers. These were believers who may have been saved a while, but they were still new in their faith, and they didn't have a lot of knowledge about who Christ was and how to live the Christian life. And we get here to chapter 3, and we see in verse 1 that word carnal. And this word in the Greek, it means fleshly or of the flesh. And so these were people who were living in their flesh. And we're told in the Scriptures to not allow our flesh to live itself out, but we're to walk in the Spirit and not give into the flesh. And so these were people, though, that were struggling with their flesh. They were carnal people. So Paul is appealing to them and saying, "I've spoken to you many times, and I've given you help and instruction many times, but you are yet in the flesh, and you're nothing more than babes in Christ." And this thought is continued in verse 2, where it says, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able." These were people in this church that were still not able to receive the deep things of Christ, even just the basic things of Christ that he wanted to communicate to these people. And I think the application to us can be here as we read in these first two verses. It could be that Paul here is saying that, you know, there is nothing profitable to you or I, or to these people in this church. There's nothing profitable about being a carnal Christian. It's not going to help you folks to live your daily lives in the flesh. We have to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the Corinthians' carnality, their carnal lives, it wasn't helping Paul. Paul, who was a messenger of the gospel, he was going around planting churches, and really in a lot of ways he was a missionary. But this church, he was addressing their carnal lives and how it wasn't helping them grow, but also wasn't helping him as the messenger that they had sent. And so this is why he addresses these things, because he cared about this church. He was concerned about their standing before God. But Paul here is saying, "I have many things that I want to say to you that you need for your spiritual growth, but you are not yet ready to receive it because you cannot bear it." You know, there's a similar passage found in Hebrews chapter 5, and I'll read that to you. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, it says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Carnality among believers, and it can happen to the best of us. It can happen to all of us, living in the flesh, being carnal. But carnality among believers is one of the first ways in which Satan tries to distract us and stop us from growing as Christians. And no doubt if you're here this morning and you know Christ as your Savior, you want to grow. You want to go forward in your walk with the Lord. But a carnal life will stop that. It will stunt our growth in the Lord. And so this is what Paul is getting at here. But the illustration here that Paul uses is comparing milk with meat. And I think it's a thought that we can understand. And, you know, babies are ones that need milk for them to grow. They cannot, you know, eat steak or chicken, you know. And so they have to grow. And these are this is the analogy that Paul uses here. And it's a perfect visual for us to see the condition that this church was in. What they needed was meat. They needed the meat of the Word of God. They needed the meat of the instruction that Paul wanted to give. But they instead were still needing milk, which was hindering their growth as a result of their carnal lives they were living. If they had addressed the carnality in their lives, they could have taken that meat and grown thereby, but they were still needing the milk, the basic understanding. So this was the sad state of the Corinthian church. As we look over this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this was the state of this church. This was a church that God used in Paul's life. And Paul, no doubt, was used of God in their life, as you read on in the Corinthians. But here we come to this next part of our passage in verse 3 and following. So number 1 this morning was the patience of Paul. You know, he had a lot of patience with this church. They were a church that had their frailties, had their problems, and Paul had patience with them. You know, we should be that way with each other. We should have patience with each other. Not everyone is growing fast in their walk with the Lord. And Paul understood that. He was patient with this church. He was patient with those who still needed milk. He didn't try to force the meat to them. He wanted them to take the meat, but he understood they needed the milk of the gospel. And so we need to have patience like Paul did. But number 2, the wisdom and discernment of Paul. You know, we need the wisdom of Paul, but we also need the wisdom ultimately of God in His Word. But Paul had much wisdom and discernment here. In verse 3, he addresses their carnality again by emphasizing its duration by using the word still. They were still, verse 3, it says, "For you are still carnal." These were people who their carnality had prolonged, and it was a problem. This church had been established for a while, and the people had been saved long enough to have grown up in the Lord. Yet their carnality had now brought them to the point where they were no longer distinguishable between saved and unsaved. And there's a lot of Christians that live that way. Because of their carnality in their lives, they're no longer distinguishable between the world and Christian. There's no difference to them. But we who know the Lord need to live distinguishable from the world. We need to be distinguished. There ought to be something said of us that person's different because of who lives inside of them, because of Jesus Christ. Their carnal lives had such a destructive result. And it has a destructive result if you are giving yourself over to the world. If you're living a carnal life, it will have a destructive result on your life. But it had a destructive result on their lives, and it was Paul's wisdom and discernment that this church needed. He was used of God in this church's life, and they needed to have their hearts and minds turned back to the Lord because their condition was irreparable. Their condition was serious. Paul then goes on to address their inability to recognize the message of Paul, as not only not being from them only, but of God Himself, who is the true author and finisher of their faith. We read in verses 4, if you pick up in verse 4, it says, "For one, when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and 'I am of another,' 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who then is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." What the Corinthians needed, folks, was that it isn't about following a man or identifying with a certain church, but rather it was identifying with Christ, identifying with the true and pure message from God and Him alone that should be praised and followed. God is the one who gives the increase. He is the one, as we go as missionaries, as we share the gospel in Gambia, God is the one that gives the increase. There's nothing that we can do as missionaries to convince people in Gambia. The Word of God is the one that brings conviction on a person's life. We just have to be obedient to giving the gospel to those who need it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, it says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Carnality among believers will only end in destruction for us. We must be given over to the Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to cleanse our hearts and for God to use us as we walk in the Spirit. Paul here he's writing again and he's saying, it's not my message or any other person for that fact that can convince or bring conviction in your hearts. Rather, it is the message of God Himself and through the Spirit of God that gives understanding. Their sufficiency and meat, in other words, would not be found in a man. It would not be found in Paul, but it would be found in God and in Him alone. What a powerful truth this is for us today. Not one person here has the sufficiency in and of yourself or myself to save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot do enough good works. We cannot live lives holy or obedient to God and hope that that's good enough to go to heaven. Not one of us can do that. We don't have the sufficiency of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God and should be of God and what His finished work on the cross accomplished. God does reward faithfulness, and we should be faithful to give out and speak out for Christ, but we must realize we are powerless to change a life with our words. It is God who takes those words. The words that we speak, the truths that we speak from the Word of God, is God who takes those words that have been planted and watered and turns them into new life. It's a beautiful picture I grew up having a garden in Georgia. My parents grew up on a farm there in Georgia, and my parents, my grandparents would have a garden, and they would go out and plant the seed, but if you don't water that seed, it's not going to grow. You know, and if you don't water that, you're not going to reap the harvest. And so this is the thought here, that every step, every person is important. Every person along the journey how God has orchestrated even the local church here to minister to one another, every person is vital and key. And we think about missions, we think about missionaries. We need you to do what God's called us to do. You need us to do what God has called us to do to fulfill the Great Commission. And so it's very vital. And this is what Paul was sharing with this church, that no matter your part is not insignificant. It's vital to the work of the ministry. So next we come to Paul's resolve in verses 8 through 9. Verse 8 says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." In verse 9, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Probably my favorite two verses here in 1 Corinthians, which gives us a beautiful picture of broken humanity unified in the work of the Lord. And that's what the beautiful picture of us as your missionaries, as missionaries that you support, it's wonderful to be able to share just that profound truth of that unity that we have in Christ, the partnership that we have in the ministry and the work of the Lord. Paul here is saying this is not a competition to see who has the most followers or the most book sales or the most likes. That's not what the work of the ministry is about. We're working in this together. We're laborers together with God. But rather, together in harmony, we labor together to bring glory and honor to the Lord. That's what it's about. It's to bring Him glory. It's to magnify Jesus Christ. The Corinthians could not see this truth because of their carnality. The carnality of their lives had blinded them to the truths of who Christ was and what He had accomplished and what He could do for them. Their strife and divisions amongst themselves had hindered them from going deeper in their understanding of who God was and what His message was for them.
You know, God has a message. He sent you a messenger here as your pastor, Pastor Overmiller and Pastor Christian, as they labor here, as they preach and teach the Word of God to you. I can tell you that those things that they want you to understand, the meat of the Word of God, if you're living lives of carnality, it will blind you to those truths, and it will hinder your growth in the Lord. So we shouldn't live lives of carnality. So Paul comes along graciously, yet he comes firmly and directs their attention towards how all of this fits together. God takes imperfect people. I love this thought, that he takes us, sinful Christians, sinful human beings, with varying skills, abilities, talents, and he makes us fit perfectly in his redemptive plan for this world. He uses all of us in his plan. No matter your skills, your intellect, your education, doesn't matter, God can use your life here through this local church for eternity. What we and the Corinthians must learn is that our carnality, our lives of sin, hinders us not only in our fellowship to one another, but ultimately with God and his plan that he wants to work out in our lives. It's so important for us to realize this. And I love what verse 9 says. We are fellow workers. We are laborers together with God. What a beautiful picture of us as your missionaries, that we are laborers together with you. I feel like we're part of your church family. In a way, we are. We're an extension of your ministry there in Gambia, West Africa. And so we pray for you just as you pray for us. And it's important for us to realize that we are laboring together with God. This essentially was the relationship that Paul, who was the evangelist, had with this church at Corinth. They were no lesser important in the ministry. You as a church, and you as an individual, you may think, well, I don't have much to offer this church, or I don't have much to offer God. You are no less important than anyone else here. We are all vital in the work of the Lord. We are laborers together. And what we and the Corinthians must learn is that our carnality, though, will hinder that working together. And so we must not give in to this. Even in spite of their current state before God, this Corinthian church had to realize how vitally important they were in Paul's ministry. You know, Paul could not have done what he did all over that region of the world if it wasn't for those churches that were behind him. And I can tell you, as your missionary, as we go to Gambia here in just a few short weeks, we cannot do what God's called us to do without your support, your prayers, your faithfulness to the Lord. And so I want to challenge, that's my challenge to you this morning, is that you would not live lives of carnality. Don't allow your lives to be trapped by sin and the deception of sin, and to be trapped in that just that spiral of sin. It will end up in destruction. It will destroy your lives. Sin will destroy your lives. It will destroy your family and your home. And so don't allow the sin in your lives in that way. We must be given over to the Spirit. We must be given over to God and His Word and allow it to change us so that we will move from the milk of the Word of God to the meat of the Word of God so that we can understand these things. But here is the awesome point, and I want to emphasize this morning. We don't do this alone. We do this with God. He's there with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. The Word of God says that. And so we must realize that we are laboring together. We are working together with God. What a beautiful thought for us. As your missionaries, as you as our supporting church, as you labor together in reaching this community here in New York City, you're laboring together. And we should be one big family. We should be laboring together with God. We are God's workmanship. We are His husbandry or field, and we are His building. He is building us. He is growing us. We are God's workmanship. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in those." Paul here in this passage is pleading with the church at Corinth that they would realize the impact they have in the work of the Lord. So as we come to the conclusion of our service this morning, as we come to these last few thoughts in our application, I want to give you a few challenges from my heart. First of all, a carnal life, as I've already said, has a destructive end. It ends in destruction. As we saw from our text, Satan loves to work his way into churches and into homes and into your life. And he wants to destroy you. If you are here this morning and you say, I want to grow in the Lord. I want to understand my Bible. I want to understand when the preacher is preaching and he's teaching. I want to understand these things that I'm singing about, that I'm hearing. Well, if we desire for that, we must realize that if we have sin in our lives and we are given over to those sins, that will not allow us to understand the Bible. That will not allow us to understand the Word of God. And so we must first confess our sin and get those things right with the Lord before we can go forward. But a carnal or fleshly or worldly life will destroy everything and everybody in its way. We who know Christ have been called out of the world. What a beautiful thought that is, that we live in this world, but we're not of this world. We're citizens of heaven. If you're here this morning, you know Christ as your Savior. This is not our home. We're just passing through, as the song says. But we've been called out of the world to not live like the world, but rather we've been called to a higher calling. And we must look to God to establish us and strengthen us through His Word. And that's why you come here to church on Sundays, to be established and strengthened through the Word of God. And in our fellowship and in our singing and the praises that we sing to God, those are all meant to strengthen our walk with each other and also with God individually. And so it's so important. When we lose our effectiveness, we lose our effectiveness for the Lord when we live lives that are carnal. But not only our relationship with the Lord suffers, our relationship with our fellow man suffers. And so may God help us to repent of this sin. You know, I think it's something that all of us struggle with at different times of our life where, you know, we can live lives that are carnal, and it affects those around us. It affects our family. It affects our church. And so we need to realize the impact that it has. But also, we must remember that we are one in Christ. We're one in Christ. What a beautiful thought that is, that there is no job that has greater or lesser importance in the work of the Lord. We're one in Christ. God is with us, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so whether you are planting or whether you're watering or whether you're reaping a harvest, we are laboring together with God. What a beautiful thought that is. And so our end goal should be, it talks about in John chapter 17, if you have time, you should read through John chapter 17. It really parallels what in the words of Christ, what we're talking about this morning and laboring together with God. But in John chapter 17, verse 3, it says that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then verse 21 of John chapter 17, it says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We are together working with God. And so it's a beautiful thought that we together with God is what lifts up the name of the Lord. And it shows us the full and complete picture of Christ. That He came and sacrificed on the cross and gave His life, not just so that people can look to Him and say that was a really nice thing that He did, but so that that would give us new life in Christ, that we can be one in Christ, that He can do this working of the Holy Spirit in our lives to change us so that we no longer walk after the flesh, no longer walk after the world, but we live for so much greater, something greater now because of what Christ has done in our lives. We together with God. You know, when we think of laboring, you know, we think of hard work, and it is hard work. This Christian walk is not easy. And we have to realize that. It takes effort. It takes intentionality to study your Bible, to memorize Scripture, to pray each day. It takes discipline upon us. It takes work. You know, oftentimes we can shy away from laboring together because maybe we feel inadequate or or apprehensive about the work that it will take to labor together. But fact is, there is great rewards awaiting us. Faithful, God rewards faithfulness, folks. If we are faithful, God is faithful to us. But there's great rewards waiting for us in heaven for those who are faithful. But not only do we have rewards in heaven for our faithfulness, we have the promise of God's presence for us today. We have the promise of God's provision for us today. We together with God can bring honor and glory to the name that is above every name, and that is Jesus Christ. We want to glorify and magnify Jesus Christ. We can only do that if we are walking together, that we are living lives that are free from sin, free from the entrapment of sin. But may we be willing, folks, and ready to receive the yoke of God. His yoke is light. The Bible talks about that. It's not a heavy light. It's nothing that we cannot bear. We must bear this together with God. But maybe there's someone here this morning and you have never been yoked together or joined together with Christ. You know, He wants to do that in your life. You may be here this morning and you've never understood really what the gospel is. Let me encourage you that you must repent. You must believe in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. In Him is the only way to heaven. It's only through His shed blood on the cross. And we're coming up on Easter next week and about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how He isn't a dead God. He is alive. And He is alive because He paid for your sin. And He's risen now so that you can live alive in Him. And what a beautiful thought that is for us. But maybe there's someone here who has never trusted in Christ for salvation. You maybe have no knowledge of the freedom and peace that only God can give through faith in Him alone. Let me invite you this morning to consider Christ. Consider what He's done for you. Consider what He has given us. He's given us the Word of God that is our blueprint through life that we can go to and understand so that the Word of God points out where we are sinners. We understand the areas of our life that are sinful and that Christ wants to chip away at us to make us more like His Son. But maybe there's someone here this morning that is a Christian. You've lived your life, you want to live your life for the Lord, but maybe there's some carnality in your life. A life, folks, that is filled with bitterness and hate and envy or strife or maybe pride or some other worldly action. That life will only end in destruction. We don't want Satan to destroy us. We want to live alive in Christ. We want to go forward with the joy and happiness. And we want to go forward with these things, but we can only do that if we don't have this sin in our lives. How can we labor together if we are not all united in Christ? We must be joined to Christ first. For this to work properly, as it should, as in following the Word of God, and what Paul wanted for this church at Corinth was for them to understand that this can only be possible if we are united in Christ, that we are drawing closer to a closer walk with the Lord. That's what we want. That's what my wife and I want for you as well, is that this church would not just continue, but it would go forward for the Lord. And we want that for you. It's exciting just to see what God has done in just a year and a half since we were here last. But it's wonderful to see what God is continuing to do. But don't just stay where you are in your walk with the Lord. Go forward. Don't just settle for the milk of the Word of God. Go for the meat of the Word of God. Allow God to work in your lives so that you no longer are given over to sin or allowing sin to destroy you. Get that settled with the Lord. Confess that. Get that right with the Lord. And then you can properly receive the meat of the Word of God. But what a great picture this passage in 1 Corinthians is about how we labor together with you. You know, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. My wife is not perfect. Your pastor's not perfect. None of us here this morning are perfect or where we should be in our walk with the Lord because we live in this flesh. But you as a church have given and sacrificed for us time and again. And we just want to say thank you for that you've been faithful to us. And I pray that as we consider this passage for us this morning, that we would understand that we must be faithful to the Lord. Ultimately, not just to one another, not just in our relationships to one another, but ultimately, how is our relationship with God doing? Have we made that an emphasis, our walk with the Lord? Made that primary focus of our lives is living our lives close to God. And this morning, as we consider this passage, I don't know what God has spoken to you about. I don't know if He has pointed something out in your life that you realize, you know, this is hindering my walk with the Lord. This is hindering my relationship to my church, to the members of this church, to my pastor. You know, if God has pointed something out in your life, you need to get that settled today. Get that sin dealt with today. And if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to get that settled. Your eternal home, whether it be hell or heaven, you need to get that settled if you don't know. You can know today. You can leave this church today knowing you're on your way to heaven and what freedom and joy that can give you in your life. But this morning, as we consider this passage, I hope that we would realize how important it is to work together. How important that it is as you support missionaries. And as I think, as we were talking with Stephen and Savvy last night, just about you've got missionaries coming in later this year. And how important it is to be right as a church, be right as an individual, as a family, so that God can work through us as we accomplish this great commission that God has commissioned us to go with. But thank you so much for allowing us to partner with you. And that's really why we wanted to come here today, is to challenge you with these thoughts about laboring together, but also just to say thank you for your faithfulness, for your love for the Lord, your faithfulness to God. And so we want to encourage you to go forward for the Lord and keep going and keep growing as a Christian. And use those gifts and abilities that God's given you to make an impact here in your Jerusalem and your Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of this world.
Thank you for tuning in to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church. We are conveniently located in Corona, New York City, and are devoted to loving God and making disciples. For more resources and helpful information about our church, visit studygodsword.com. We'd also like to extend a personal invitation for you and your family to worship with us on Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning, followed by a luncheon and an uplifting time of interactive Bible study for teenagers and adults after that. If you have young children, they will really enjoy our exciting Bible-based children's ministry that also occurs in the afternoon session. If you have any questions about the church or would like to learn more about how to have a personal relationship with God, please give us a call or leave some feedback at studygodsword.com. We would be thrilled to meet you in person and show you firsthand what God is doing at Faith Baptist Church. Until next time, may God richly bless you.